Romans chapter 10, we want to look at verses 14 and through 21. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. The sound went into all the earth, and the words until the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by foolish nation I will anger you. But Elias is very bold, and saith, I found of them, and they sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient people and gainsaying people. Dear Lord, direct us this morning in your word. Help us to see how important this little passage is. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. There's two things here. There's evangelism. In other words, the process by which God has determined to preach the gospel and have it propagated across the earth. And then there's also the reaction of many that the gospel is rejected to their sad end. Often people write me and ask me questions on my website, Bible Truth. They ask questions sometimes about relatives and so forth who have passed away. They're concerned for them. And folks, I have to tell them the truth because the message is not mine. The message is from this Bible and God's Word. So I have to tell them that if a person died without accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're certainly not in heaven. A man sees the hand of God. However, God says in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following, that man is without excuse. Even people who have not heard of Jesus Christ can see God around them in creation and see the handiwork of God, and that should draw them to God if they are so imposed to do so. And if they see God's hand in creation, and if they seek God, God's going to send the gospel to them. I believe that with all my heart. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. So because they cannot believe in Jesus Christ, that many times people do not know of him, are not challenged to accept him as their Savior, do not know of him. And that's sad. That's why we got this mission board in here. And let me just say right now, I wish we could support a dozen more missionaries, but we don't have the money. I wish we did. And that involves several things. Number one, it involves you, the members of this church, going out in this community and bringing people in that they might hear the gospel and be saved. It also, the other side of it, is that you people give your tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Now, some people say, well, you're supporting the preacher. Do you understand this church has never supported me? You never have. You say, well, I thought we gave you $500 a month. Did they give me $500 a month, Andy? Tell them the truth.
Sometimes.
Sir?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
But, and I'm being bold with this. I'm telling you, you know I'm telling you the truth. You can ask him and you can ask Brother Pat. I give it back. Always have. I spend a good portion of the income that I get from missions, churches that support me, put it right back in here. That's my obligation. That's why I love this church and this pastor. I think enough of you that I put everything I have into it. My wife also. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, by the way, let me just say this. Several times, the church has given us a special offering, and when you did, we kept it, okay? Because that was a special offering. And you understand, to honor you and your desire to help us, we took it. I want to make everything clear. So God's plan for the promulgation of the gospel, that means for reaching people with the gospel, saving gospel of Jesus Christ, is laid out here in chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. This is a mandate of God for all Christians to be soul winners and to help in evangelizing the world. This is why God-fearing, honoring people and churches love souls, seek the lost, and support missions, not only in their town and around the world. As Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." He said also in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, turn with me there. You need to see this is the commission. This is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You say, well, that's who is that to? That's to you. It's also to me. And it's not any more to me than it is to you. I like reading verse 18 first. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So what do we do as a church here? What do I do as a pastor? What does Brother Andy do as a pastor? What do our Sunday school teachers do? We teach. But by the way, we can't teach the children if they don't come. We can't teach you if you don't come. There's Bible studies here on Sunday nights and also on Wednesdays. A lot of people don't come. I don't know why. It's an important function of the church. And also we pray. He says, "How shall they call upon him in whom they're not believed?" Did you not call upon the Lord when you heard of him? If you hadn't heard about Jesus Christ and somebody in a church or somebody, some way, you heard the truth, you believe. Is it possible, though, that you never heard and therefore did not get saved? And I believe that's true all over the world. There are untold millions of people. I have people writing me all the time, and it tears my heart out. I have, in Nigeria, in Ghana, I have people from Kenya, South Africa, India, countries all over the world asking me, "Can you come and preach to us?" And I said, "I would love to, but I can't. My station is right here." But you know what? Being a pastor here, one of my responsibilities is to teach missions, and I've tried to do it. But we as a body of believers are to send missionaries. There's at least 4 missionaries right now on my heart. I wish we could support them, but we can't. We don't have the money to do it with. And then he says, shall they believe on him who they've not heard? The answer is very clear. Most people in our town have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard about Jesus, a Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. They heard a gospel, but it is a false gospel. It's not the gospel according to God's word. And the sad thing about it is they believe a gospel in a Christ that cannot save them. And as long as they trust in it, they died trusting in their false God, in their false gospel, sadly they're going straight to hell. That's God's word. You know, we don't like to talk about it, but that's the truth of it. They have been lied to for generations. And the proof of these lies using God's message in His Word, because when you compare what they teach and all of these false religions all over the world, and I'm talking about even Christian churches in Utah. I had a fellow write me just this week. He said he's going to a fundamental independent Baptist church. Hoorah, he came out of a false church. Guess what? His pastor now is teaching that you can ordain divorced men, and he's encouraging a man in his congregation to become a pastor who is divorced. By the way, I don't have time to go into that this morning, but you go to my website and type, do a search about divorced pastors, and it'll explain it all to you in detail. That what this word says, not what some man said or what some man thinks it is right, but what God says. How shall they hear without a preacher? The word preacher here means a herald, or one who proclaims the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what those tracts are for. You're as much a preacher as I am. My responsibility is to prepare messages to the whole congregation and to preach as an overseer of this church. Your job is to preach and carry the gospel into your neighbors, to your families, to your neighbors, to your friends, and then to support missions around the world. We do support missionaries, and I'm proud of the ones that we do support. And I check on them, by the way. I know what they're doing. This means you and I, believers, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will open their mouths and declare who Jesus is and God's plan of salvation. You know, don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Don't be afraid of this world around us and what they might do to criticize you. Every criticism that you read, every put-down that you receive as a child of God, as a true Christian, God counts that up for reward for you in heaven. And I'll be honest with you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be glad that you did what you did. You're going to be glad that you proclaimed that you were a Christian. You will be glad that you stand and honor the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that you told the world, all of the world, as much as you can, from here until the uttermost parts of the earth, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? That's the responsibility of you and I. We say it's the responsibility of the church. Do you understand what a church is? It is the ecclesia. It is the assembly of people. It's not some organization or something out there. It's got a name on it, and it has a responsibility. The responsibility is ours as an assembly, assembled in God's name. And as we quote in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and also read the Great Commission, it's very plain what God has set us to do. And then he says this, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Boy, we're living in hard times. You want to start a conversation up about the end times and about God and about our need of Christ in the world and God in our country? Just start mentioning anything about going on right now in the election and all this, and people are willing to talk about it. Give you an ample opportunity to tell them I'm a Christian. And I'll explain that a little more as we go. This is a quote, by the way, from the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, when it says, how beautiful are the mountains of the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation. Thus saith unto Zion, thou God reigneth. Let me say that again. That saith unto Zion, that means the people at this time was Israel in that area, thy God reigneth. In fact, of all the pagans around them and all the false teachings and all of the Pharisees and their false religions and their hypocrisies, God still reigns. He still reigns. This passage is presenting evangelism to every child of God, and we should be involved in it. People will not be saved apart from evangelism and the witness of us as Christians who know Him as our Lord and Savior. Now, I'll interject this. There are people who just reject the truth. They don't want the truth. They're enjoying what they do and their lives. And so, basically, and this is kind of curse in the sense of, or as it's said, but they just say, Jesus, kiss off. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Well, God is a God of wrath. He is a God of judgment. And those who reject God and reject the truth and won't refuse to live by it, they're going to bear the brunt of their terrible decisions. And it's coming. Oh, I get it. You know, it's like a person sins. You know, you go down to this one of the stores and you shoplift something. Got away with it. Walked out the door and you had it in your pocket. Oh, man, look here. I got it. Nothing ever happened. No cop got you. Nobody coming to knocking on your door. Everything's fine. Next time you go, say, well, you know what? I got away with it then. Maybe I can get away with it again. And progressively, it gets worse. One day, you're going to get caught. And even if you didn't get caught, you're going to pay for it. Almighty God keeps the books. He knows everything you do, every thought you have. And so there's going to be a day of accounting. There's going to come that. The tragedy is that so many hear and don't believe. I've known people who sit years and years in churches and hear the gospel preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And then turn around and live their lives like they never even heard a word of it. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then he says, after he talks about evangelism and about carrying the gospel out, he says, not all have obeyed the gospel. Not all have believed. There are so many unfaithful people in churches who do not wholeheartedly support missions. That involves prayer, giving, faithfulness, and a boldness to witness for Christ. Well, it embarrasses me. I don't like the feeling I get when I do this. You know why? If you started in time, you'll get used to it. It'll become second nature to you. And it'll be easier and easier for you because you realize the importance of what you're doing. You hand a tract to somebody. That's important. Your job is not to question, well, they're not going to receive it. They're not going, you know, they're not going to accept it. That's not your decision or your to make a judgment in. You give it to the gospel and then let them deal with God and God's word themselves. And by the way, you know, I spent a lot of years preaching and teaching, and it's still hard for me many times to offer tracts to people. But I pray, Lord, is this somebody you want me to give a tract to? Many times the Lord will say yes, other times no. Do you know that each of us are the direct result of churches who support missions by prayer and giving? Yes, your pastor and his wife are supported by missions money from about 40 churches. And individuals, some individuals. We have a sweet lady who lives outside of Windsor, Virginia, sends us $25 a month. God bless her. Her award, she's a widow lady, by the way. And we have others. I have a retired lieutenant colonel who was in the Navy. He was on a nuclear submarine. He was and that man has been supporting us over 30-some years, about 35 years. I've only saw him one time for just a few minutes. He started supporting us. His name is Terry Gunfenbaum. He's a retired lieutenant commander. Every time I think about it, thank God for people like that. His faithfulness to us. And He's faithful to love missions. And I'm sure we're not the only ones He helps. I have another Air Force colonel who sends us a few dollars every month. Every month. And then we have churches that give us $25 a month, and some give more, varying amounts. But we're able to live on it. We've never, ever lacked anything that we needed. God's always provided for it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being real plain in this message this morning. I'm going to be even plainer. A good portion of what we get for us to live on, we give to you. Not to the church. We give to you folks. And that's why I'm able to stand up here. This suit, by the way, was bought by missions money. The shoes I wear, the food on my table, other than even the seed that planted in my little garden. By the way, we've been getting potatoes and relish or mustard salad. We got some collards last week, and they are good. And where did the seed that bought, the money that bought the seed came from? Missions money. They show their love by their giving. They show their love for the Savior. And by the way, we do not miss, when we're not at this church or we're visiting somewhere else, they give us money, we tithe on that money and give offerings in it. I'm just being plain as I can be with you this morning. I want you to know, what I'm telling you, I live it. And I'm not bragging on it, but I'm telling you this. I learned a long time ago that God blesses that. And I want it for you folks. People struggle and struggle and struggle in their lives financially. They have all kinds of problems. And I'm telling you one thing. If it's a Christian, they are not tithing and giving their offerings to God. That's why they're living like they are. That's why they're having their troubles. Because of their unfaithfulness. And by the way, the test of your faithfulness to the Lord, one thing that stands out is in giving. That is thanking God for His salvation and what He's done for you. You don't think somebody gives you something? Don't you thank them? I thank people all the time. I go to the store, I buy something. Thank you. You know, many times they don't thank me, but I thank them every time. What are they doing? I thank them. My wife, every time she cooks a meal, do I want to do this, Carolyn? It's second nature for me. She'll prepare me. She fixed my breakfast this morning. Thank you. Thank you, sugar. I pretty good. Thank you. And by the way, I'm not going to mention something else that I'm thankful for too, but God has been working in my life in many ways. There would be no true Bible-believing church in Tremont unless God people live by faith and their witness and testimony supported missions around the world. 40 churches and several individuals help us every month. You folks have benefited from that. Do you understand Paul said that also? Paul, he said, I robbed the churches in Macedonia to come and preach to you. And he said, I took nothing from you that I would be accountable or be criticized for in any way. You probably haven't heard me preach this plain in a long time. So the question is this. Have they not heard? The answer is yes, they heard. It's a rhetorical question. Yes, many hear but don't accept it. You may be here this morning. You don't know the Lord Jesus is your Savior. You've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. This is addressing those who hear the gospel and haven't responded. And I like to say haven't responded yet. They are going to. That's my hope, my desire. That's why we live our lives and do what we do. Because we desire it. But many times preach as plain as you can. Be as loving and kind as you can. And present Jesus Christ as our loving and wonderful Savior. Sometimes people refuse. Israel knew but didn't believe. Verse 29, and I'll close with this. But Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He's not talking to Christians here. He's talking to people who knew the truth and wouldn't follow it. They would not follow it. Where are you this morning in regards to your Savior, your God and Creator? Where are you in relationship to Him? Are you serving Him? Are you faithful to Him? Even in the small things. The whole verse reads, I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. And by the way, that's Isaiah 65:2 that Paul was quoting here. The question is this, do you honestly examine your relationship with the Creator? Do you think about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ and what He did to die on that old cross and pay in a horrible way for your sins and mine? And then we just blatantly walk off and say, well, it's optional. I can accept it or not. 2 Peter says, God is not slack concerning His promise, but desires all to come to repentance. That's God's desire. That's what He said. So anyone who hears the gospel and refuses it, you're not refusing the pastor. You're not refusing this church. You're refusing Almighty God Himself and just saying, no, sir, I'm not going to do it. Well, whatever your reason is, it's no reason. He said, whosoever may come, that means you and me. I thank God one day I came. Didn't deserve it. Boy, didn't I deserve it. But God saved me. Changed my life. I wouldn't go back for billions of dollars. Trump ain't got enough money to pay me to go back to what I was. Or anybody else would have that. I enjoy being what I am. I have joy and peace in my heart in spite of all the problems. I've been in pain you would not believe for the last year and a half. Bad pain. I'm in pain right now. It's hurting like crazy right now. Do you sense that? God gives me the grace to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep preaching as long as I stand up. As long as they make chairs. I'm going to keep going. Because that's my responsibility. And in spite of whatever difficulties I may have. I haven't seen our families in 2 years or more. Over 2 years. You go to your grandchildren, you see them all the time. You hug and kiss them and do things for them. I can't do that. Why? Because I've been out here. So you point me to yourself. No, I'm here because God sent me. And if you miss that, you miss the whole point. And you know, everybody in this room knows I care for you. You know it. But whatever I care for you, God cares a million times more. He wants to save lives. You're here this morning. I want to offer an invitation again. I do it every end of every service. You're here this morning. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why are you not today accepting Him as your Savior? Let Him change your life. Let Him come into your life. Begin from this moment on to live in the will of God. And as Christians, Christians are disobedient too. Are you being disobedient? You have to live for Christ. Just think of all the blessings you're missing. What a wonderful thing it's going to be that day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, washed white as snow, and Jesus looks down at us and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then we go into eternity serving Him. And yet, on the other hand, so many that every little thing, whatever they might be, hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. And it's God's will for our lives. Folks, that's as plain as I can make it. I've said all I'm going to say. It's God's word. You know it is. It's what God wants. I'm a messenger. Paul said to those who he was preaching to,
Are you offended that I told you the truth? Don't be. At all. Because I'm telling you what, most of the churches in this nation does not hear the truth like it's been preached here this morning. They got pastors who love the preeminence and love the money and love the prestige and all this kind of stuff. And you know, God, you know, I've never done that. And I hope that this is a testimony to you. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. And that's what I'm presenting this morning. Would you do that? You know what God would have you to do right now. I don't have to tell you anymore. I challenge you from God's word. Would you obey Him? If you're not saved, would you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning? You say, I don't understand all of that. You don't need to understand. All you need to do is say, I believe God is my Creator, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I want Him to forgive my sins. Thou shalt be saved. You remember what we read early in chapter 10? If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No question about it. I don't care who you are or what you did. You'll be saved. That's God's word on that. Can you trust God? And then as a Christian, you ought to live for Him. You ought to be faithful to Him. He needs to be the preeminent one in our life. Colossians 1:21. But in all things, Jesus Christ be preeminent. That includes everything we do. And folks, if you say yes this morning, and God, you allow God to change your life and change your direction this morning if you're not headed like God wants you to do, there's going to be a day in time you're going to rethink this old thing. This old preacher that he told you the truth. And you're going to be more thankful to God who made it come to be. Dear Heavenly Father, bless our time. May the message go forth in power this morning. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand. What's the number?
208.
Don't wait. Just start stuttering your heart this morning. Step out of where you are. You say, Pastor, I don't know what I'm saying. Well, I'll tell you what. That's why I have a Bible, and that's why I'll be so happy to see you. I'll be glad to pray with you and to help you any way I can. Because that's what God said to do. How can they go? How can they believe unless they heard?
You heard this morning. 208, are you washed? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace's hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
By the way, I know the Bible teaches that when the Word of God is presented, He brings conviction within the heart. God's convicting people in this congregation this morning. If you haven't given this message, I know for a fact this people did it. Because God laid it on my heart. Not because I know what you're doing, but I know what God laid on my heart to preach. Don't say no. Trust Christ. Take that first step that leads to eternity. And also, for the Christian, for usefulness in our world and honoring our Savior. Will the end continue?
Verse 2. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood? garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood?
Dismiss ourselves now into your care. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that was preached. I just pray, Lord, that it would continue to work with each and every one of our lives and our hearts, Lord. Pray the conviction that we act upon that, Lord, that we might better serve you. And, Lord, we have a better testimony for you in our lives. We thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.